The Reverend Jim. The Reverend G'day. Jim Reynolds joins us here on the program. Good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, mate. How's lockdown treating you?
Well, it doesn't really bother me because I never go anywhere. And I'm but all jokes aside, because we have about 300,000 people in the building industry that can't earn a living because they've shut down all construction sites, private and government, even though there hadn't been any positive testings at a construction site. And all these people are going to go 2 weeks without pay. And I'm considered an essential service. And I've got a little letter of permission that gets lets me go directly from home to work. So I feel very, very bad for those people whose livelihoods have just been ripped away from them, Jim.
I'm not surprised the construction industry had to shut down because a lot of their deliveries come by trucks. And right at the start of your show, you're talking about truck drivers spreading it around. What was it, Orange? And then you just started talking about Cootamundra and that kind of stuff, that they are quite at risk. So I know in Victoria, construction grounds were held as well. But, you know, we all have to do it. We're all sort of in the same boat.
My son's a painter, and Simon, as you know, is a painter, but they do more than paint. They fix everything, they can't work for 2 weeks. And what about the people in the construction and the building industry that have shelled out? When you're on a job, you get progress payments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the last payment is your profit. So along the way, you're buying your goods, you're buying your timber, you're buying all that stuff, and you're paying your staff. And now, those people have got no money. They've got nothing. Yep. They've got nothing coming in.
Yep, it's a really bad state for everyone. I guess I'm a bit like you. I'm a bit luckier because I can still do some work. A lot of my work is computer based, so you know, I could work from a van traveling around Australia if I wanted to. So, you know, but when you're in hospitality or construction and those kind of fields, you know, people are losing more than just their livelihoods. Homes are on the line. And this latest round, we still haven't really heard from the government about JobKeeper coming back or anything like that. And it's quite scary for a lot of people. It's one of the most common things that I'm hearing, you know, when people contact me is, you know, what's going to happen in the future? Will I be able to get my business back? As you said, with the progress payments, the people who've had construction work, they might not have the money to continue going.
I know. And we're seeing restaurants and cafes, people are just saying, you know, we got over the other lockdowns. We've had to borrow money to get back off our knees, back onto our shaky legs. And now we've got this. Can't do it anymore. Can't do it anymore. And they're just shutting their doors. So there's more people who'll be lining up for Centrelink, you know?
Yeah, it's a very, very scary situation. I mean, look, we have had some nice stories down here in Victoria, and I'll use hospitality as an example because we had that mini lockdown. Then we got out again. Then we've gone back into a lockdown. So that's a lot of produce and that kind of stuff. And if my memory serves me correctly, you had a restaurant at one stage, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, in Bathurst. Yeah, worst years of my life. I'd never do it again.
Oh, okay.
I would never do it again.
Well, you would know then, but, you know, as soon as the lockdown happens, how much wastage would be happening with all that produce that you bought?
Yeah.
They've actually, a lot of the restaurants and that kind of stuff have taken a major strain off the community services industry and used that food and started giving it out to people who were doing it tough as well. So the produce hasn't gone to waste, and there's a lot of places in Victoria that have done that. I'm not too sure about New South Wales because obviously down here, all we keep seeing on the news is, you know, Dan Andrews on the news. So we don't hear too much unless they're bagging out your premier in New South Wales. Yeah. So I'm not too sure if that's happening up there or not. You might know a bit more than me.
I'd like to hear stories, though. If are restaurants giving away their food before they have to throw it out? Are they allowed to by councils and their health departments. It makes perfect sense to me. And even when there's no lockdown, Reverend Jim is on the phone with us. The amount of waste that comes from shopping centres, supermarkets, and indeed restaurants, it's just unbelievable. Why don't we organise it like they do in France? In Paris, you are not allowed to throw good food out. It has to go to charities. Why can't we bring that in here?
Well, we have an organisation called Second Bite, and I have a mental blank on, pardon me, which supermarket is supported by them, but all their produce and what we would term as ugly fruit goes to Second Bite, and they do rounds around the different soup kitchens, so that helps a lot. And we do get contacted by a lot of restaurants, and where the health, the services allow us to, we will give it out. Probably the one thing that we do get tons of, which we can't use, would be stuff like bread, because a lot of bakeries will have surplus and we can't get that out quick enough. But we do our best to and try to reduce that kind of wastage as well. But there are programs around that helping minimise how much waste is about there.
Okay, I've just looked up Second Bite's webpage.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, we need to get these folks on the air, the people that started Second Bite. It's a very, very good story. Second Bite began mm-hmm. in 2005 with one couple, Ian and Simone Carson. Gathering a committed group of friends, they would visit market stalls in Melbourne. At the end of the day, they would collect the surplus food and drop it to local charities that ran food programs. Here you go. In 2011, Coles and Second mm-hmm. Bite formed a national partnership, which led to a rapid expansion of the organisation's operational scale and reach. Coles.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's who I thought it was, but I didn't want to say it with and end up finding it was Woolies.
Yeah, no. I just looked it up while you were talking. It's Coles, but now they have a whole lot of partners. Red Gem growers, Buller manufacturers, dairy products. There's a stack of retailers and wholesalers. There are corporates, there are trust foundations and charities and churches. If you go to their website, you can click on them, then it's all there. But Jess, can you please find me Ian and Simone Carson? And we'll get one of them on the phone and we'll talk to them about Second Bite. Ending waste, ending hunger. What a great idea.
It's an amazing organisation, and I wish it was around before 2005, but they saw a need in the community and got out there. There's a lot of things that we do need to change. You brought up Paris, and they have a law. I can't remember the specifics, but then if a fruit doesn't look right, normally in Australia they just sort of throw it in the bin, whereas they can't do that in France. So that reduces the wastage as well and provides a cheaper option for people to get fresh fruit and vegetables as well.
It's a very, very good idea. Now, what do you say to the emailers that have contacted me overnight during yesterday saying that they are shocked and horrified that bottle shops and outlets that sell alcohol are considered essential services, that alcohol is ruining people, ruining families, and that people are turning to alcohol to get them through COVID lockdown, and bottle shops should not be considered an essential service and be able to open. Reverend Jim, your thoughts?
Did Jess tell you what I said off air?
Yeah, but we can't say it on air.
No, we can't. We can't say it on air.
I'll just remind you again: you're a man of the cloth, okay?
I don't think.
What would Jesus say? There you go, Reverend Jim. What would Jesus say?
I think he'd probably say what I said off air, to be honest with you.
Right, during COVID, he turned water into wine again, eh? That was one of his great party tricks.
Yeah, so he wouldn't need the bottle shop anyway.
No, he just turns water into wine.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, exactly.
Absolutely. Look, I think it's a really silly idea to close the bottle shops. Main reason is, at the moment, one of the biggest things that we're missing is the socialisation. Now, somebody will probably fact check me on this, but I believe that Victoria has had the longest run of lockdown in Australia. We managed to get through it in many different ways. And one way that is very popular down here is catching up on Zoom on programs like Zoom and Microsoft Teams, having Friday night drinks and being as social. So I don't think that we are drinking more. What I think is we're drinking more at home and still incorporating having friends over. So on a Friday night, I'll get on Zoom with about five or six different people that I'd normally see down the pub and have a couple of drinks with them.
Are people drinking excessively to get them through the gloom?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so because a lot of us are still having to work from home. A lot of us are still having to get out and do things. And I hate to be crass when I say this, the people who have lost their work don't have the money to be going to the bottle shop to buy alcohol. It's not exactly the cheapest of vices that you can have. So, you know, we're just doing it in a different way, whereas more of our money would be spent going having a meal at the pub. We're just going to debt to a bottle shop instead. And I think if we take away that social aspect, people's mental health is going to go further downhill.
Let's see what our listeners have to say about that this morning. It's always good to talk to you, my mate. I miss you very much. Can you remember that last time we saw each other face to face? You just wandered in. You were up from Melbourne, and we took it for granted. I mean, imagine just being able to catch a plane, drop in, and see Luke. I hope we get back to those days soon.
Look, I am absolutely wishing for it, but also too, before I hang up, I might be able to do you a favour as well.
Okay, go on.
Can you, because every time you've said them, I haven't been able to write them down quick enough, could you send me a list of those albums that you're looking for? The reason why, there is an op shop that I help out with as a chaplain. They have a huge storeroom full of vinyl records.
Oh, okay. I'll send
you. Yep.
Now that I've mentioned them, of course, the price has gone up.
Let's just say I'm not going to say why I want them, and they basically just want to get rid of them. So I might be able to get them for you very easily.
That would be great. I'll pay you, and I'll give you some money to give to one of your charities. Listen, it's good to talk to you, Rev. I'll put you back to Jess.
All right, mate. Take care.
Okay. The Reverend Jim, the head of the Outreach Ministries in Australia. Always good to hear from him. 1-3353 is the telephone number. Look. Servo Steve, I can see you've been on hold for a while. I've got to go soon to Rod Hanafy. What did you want to say, buddy?
Oh, mate, you've clarified that Kootamundra one because the rumours I heard was it was connected to Kootamundra.
Separate one, I think, mate.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think it's a separate one. Mate, I can only go on the reports that come to me in the media through New South Wales Health. So the guy in Kootamundra was a separate one. It was a visitor to a private house. The orange shutdown, apparently a driver that went to the Nestle Purina factory in Blaney, and then they've gone through contact tracing there.
Yeah, well, see, I follow the regional area ones because I lived out there for a fair while.
Yeah.
And I followed that Barilla run at Christmas where they went Orange, Brogan Hill, et cetera. No cases recorded.
Yeah. Now, my point about the removalist was you got this removalist. Did you hear Gary yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
Was that a fascinating story or what?
That was ridiculous.
It was the most unbelievable story, and I'm hoping I'll hear back from him this morning. But it doesn't matter whether you're a removalist, a truck driver, a taxi driver, or just a private citizen. If you get told by New South Wales Health that you are positive, you don't continue on your trip, correct?
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, Servo Steve, I know you've been waiting, buddy, and I every time you email me, I really appreciate it.
Right. Now, wait, just one thing.
Yes.
Tell Rod Hanafy when you're talking to him that I had a beer with his tyre fitter when I was out in Dubbo in January. Roscoe's his tyre fitter out there at Rod Pillen's.
Hang on a second. Hey, stay there. Servo Steve.
Yeah.
Stay there. Rod.
Right.
Yeah, g'day, mate.
I'm not officially introducing you yet. You've got to wait a second.
That's all right.
Say hello to Servo Steve.
G'day, Steve. How are you?
Good. Rod, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate.
Mate, I had a couple of beers with your tyre fitter out there in June when I was out there.
Oh, yes.
Roscoe.
Yes, I know him well.
You know him well? Of course you would. He works for your boss.
That's now, right.
I go on a fishing trip with Buddy Cole Honeysett and them every long weekend in June. Terry Pillen used to come with us, Rod's brother.
Oh, okay. There you go, mate. Yeah, that's a small world.
Well, there... He didn't come this year. No. But I also had a beer with your boss last December when I was out there just before Christmas. Rod.
Oh, there you go, mate.
Down the Star Hotel.
There you go. Servo, got to keep going, brother.
Hang on. No, One more thing. Just ask them if they know me. They know me as Froggy.
Froggy, all right, mate.
Froggy, no worries.
Good on you, Steve. 133353. Folks, in case you haven't worked it out, Rod Hanafy is coming up next. We talk trucking road safety. Well, not just trucking road safety in general. You've got a question for Rod Hanafy, he's happy to talk to you. 133353. The Night Shift, Triple M.